University of Three will talk on random sections and random rotations of high-dimensional objects.
Thank you very much for the invitation. I want to start with some notation. So we work in Rn. We have a fixed Euclidean structure, and we have a norm on Rn. So K will be always the unit ball of the norm space X. This is a symmetric convex body. Now, this is the dual norm, and this is the polar body of K, the unit ball of the dual space. Now, I need to introduce only four parameters for this talk. So A and B are the smallest positive reals for which you have this inequality connected the norm with the Euclidean norm for every x in Rn. And I always need the parameters M and M star. M is the average of the norm on the sphere, and M star is the average of the dual norm on the sphere. So since I will be discussing only about these four, parameters, let me give the geometric interpretation of this. So A is just the circumradius of the body K, one half of the diameter of the body. 1 over B is the inradius of the body K. Now for a unit vector X, the dual norm is just the width or the support function of the body K in the direction of X. And so M star is the mean width of the body. Now, what I will try to show is that one can have some non-trivial statements about an arbitrary symmetric convex body K in Rn just in terms of these four parameters. And the statements will be about central sections of the body K of proportional dimension and the rotations of the convex body. So the first such statement is the dimension of spherical sections of the convex body K. We define the following parameter. K of X is the largest positive integer K, which has the property that with probability close to 1, you have that the norm of X is equivalent to the Euclidean norm. This is the right normalization on most of the subspaces of dimension K. And now Dvoretsky's theorem says that this parameter is greater than or equal to n times m over b squared. So you have that this Dvoretsky dimension of the body K depends in this way on the parameters m and b. C here is an absolute constant. In this statement, there is no assumption about the position of the unit ball K. You don't take some linear image of the body K. And you recover the classical statement if you assume that the Euclidean ball is the maximal volume ellipsoid of K. This means that A in radius is 1, B is 1. You can estimate M from below by square root of log N, and this gives you the log N estimate in Dvoretsky's theorem for an arbitrary space X.
Log N over N.
Yes. Square root of N. So a fact which was already mentioned, that a reverse inequality holds true. You have that K of X is bounded by 8n times m over b squared. And I want to give a proof of this fact, which is very simple. You can fix some orthogonal subspaces E1, ET, which have dimension, most of them equal to K of X, and now T will be less than N over K of X plus 1. And Rn is written as the orthogonal sum of these subspaces. Now, by the definition of K of X, you have some rotation so that if you rotate all these fixed subspaces, you have this inequality on each one of the rotated subspaces. Now, if you take any x in Rn, you can write x as a sum of x1 plus xt, where xi are on ui. Then you just use the triangle inequality and the upper estimate here, and then just by Pythagoras' theorem and Cauchy-Schwarz inequality, you estimate the norm by 2m square root of t times the Euclidean norm of x. Now, since b is the smallest number for which such an inequality holds for every x, you must have that b is less than 2m square root of t. T is bounded by 2n over k of x, and this gives you the reverse inequality. So it is quite simple to show that this estimate in Dvoretsky's theorem is precise. You have more or less an asymptotic formula that k of x is n times m over b square. Now, the second fact is about average of rotations. So now I define the following parameter of the space X. It is the smallest positive integer t, for which you can find t rotations so that the average of norms of uix is equivalent to the Euclidean norm, and again the correct normalization is to have m on both sides. This is equivalent to saying that an average Minkowski sum of rotations of the polar body of K is equivalent to a ball for some orthogonal transformations V1 to VT. And now there's a theorem of Burgen, Lindenstrauss, and Milman, which says that this parameter T of X is bounded by C times B over M square. So you have an upper bound for this parameter, again in terms of B and me and M only. And the observation is that this is again precise up to absolute constants. We have a theorem of Milman and Sethman, which says that T of X is greater than 1 over 4 times B over M square. Let me give the proof of this result also. The proof is based on the following claim. If you have t unit vectors, x1 to xt, you can find another unit vector y such that the is bigger than square root of t. You just need to choose this vector y so that it is parallel to most of the xi's, and this can be done if you consider all sums of epsilon I xi, where epsilon I are signs, and take the one which has maximal length. Now, we assume that we have some T orthogonal transformations so that the average of norms of ui of x is equivalent to Euclidean norm. Actually, we need only the upper estimate. And then, for any fixed unit vector x naught and y, we make the following computation. This sum is equal to the sum of scalar products of ui, y, x naught. This is less than the dual norm of x naught times the sum of the norms of ui, y. Now, by this assumption, this is less than 2mt, and so you have that for every x naught and every y, you have this inequality. Now, you minimize the dual norm. You can choose a unit vector x naught so that the dual norm is 1 over b. This is the direction of the minimal width of the body k. And then you optimize over y. So you choose y so that this will be maximal according to this claim. Now, this will give you exactly that square root of t is less than 2m over b times t, and this will give you the lower bound. So what we saw is that these two parameters, the dimension of spherical sections and the least number of rotations needed to create a Minkowski average, which is a ball, are given by formulas in terms of the parameters m and b. K of x is n times m over b square, and t of x is b over m square. The typical example is the unit ball of L1n, where you know that you have Euclidean sections of dimension n over 2, this means that k of x is proportional to n. On the other hand, you know that there exist two rotations of the cube, so which is the polar body of B1n, so that their average is a ball. Okay? And the intuition one gets from this result is that when you have a statement about random k-dimensional sections of a body k, then you can ask for a global analog which will have to do with n over k rotations of the polar body. And this is something that I'm going to speak about, that you can translate results about k-dimensional sections of a convex body k to results about n over k, in the ideal case, rotations of the polar body. I want to mention just a concrete example of such relation, but first I need to introduce some tools and also to continue the list of results which describe K in terms of these four parameters. So my next topic is the diameter of sections of proportional dimension. In words, one may say that the diameter of a random section of a convex body K which has dimension proportional to n is controlled by its mean width, by m star. The precise estimate is the low m star estimate, which I state in the following form. For every lambda and epsilon in 0, 1, you have the bound diameter of the section of K with a random subspace of dimension lambda n xi is bounded by 2 times m star of K over 1 minus epsilon square root of 1 minus lambda. A random means that this inequality holds for all subspaces in a subset which has a Haar measure very close to 1. This theorem was first proved by Milman, first with exponential dependence on lambda, then with linear dependence on lambda. It was first proved by Pazor and Tomczak with dependence c square root of 1 minus lambda. And this precise estimate with constant 1 is proved by Gordon. And I'm going to need this exact dependence in the application I have in mind. Another way of discussing this low M star estimate and trying to give bounds for the diameter of proportional sections is the following. If you have a convex body which is symmetric and epsilon and lambda in 0, 1, then you consider this equation. So you take the intersection of the body K with the ball of radius S, and you find the solution of this equation in S. If the solution of this equation is R, then you know that 2R is a bound for the diameter of a random section. The proof of this is just an application of the low M star estimate, because if you find the solution of this equation, then you apply the low M star estimate with epsilon half, say, instead of epsilon. You know that for a random subspace xi of dimension lambda n, you have this. This is the low M star estimate. But now M star of the intersection of k with this ball is equal to this, with s replaced by r. And this is strictly less than 2r. Now, if a section of K intersected with the ball of radius R has diameter strictly smaller than 2R, the same will hold for the actual section of K with this subspace. You have proved this form of the low M star estimate. Solving the equation, you have an upper bound for the diameter. Let me put this also in a picture. So here, lambda is fixed in 0, 1. You have this line with fixed slope, 1 minus epsilon square root of 1 minus lambda. You have your body K, and this is the graph of the function m star of the intersection of K with the ball of radius S. This starts with slope 1 up to 1 over B. It continues in a concave way, and it is constant when S will be bigger than A, which is the circumradius of the body. So you have a point of intersection, and this point of intersection is an upper bound for the diameter of a random section. Now there is a second result. Which we call conditional M estimate, and the statement is the following. You have some lambda in 0,1, and now you consider a similar equation, but here you have changed the function. The function is 1 minus some small constant to the power 1 over 1 minus lambda. Solution of this equation, then for a random subspace of dimension lambda n, you have an upper bound for the diameter of the section of the polar body. The diameter of the section of the polar body is bounded by some other function of lambda. Here you have some other absolute constant bigger than 1 to the power lambda over 1 minus lambda, and here you have 1 over r. There are this result. The first thing is that if you have that a section of the polar body is contained in a ball by duality, you have that the projection of the body K contains a ball. And if you combine this fact with Borsuk's theorem, you can get a lower bound for the diameter of the section. If lambda is bigger than 1/2, you may find a point which is at the same time on the bound, which can use this result in order to give lower bounds for the diameter of random sections of K. So this is in a sense a dual statement to the previous. Say that we don't know the best estimates here on lambda. When lambda is a question to determine what a statement. And now I will not give the proof, but I will say just that this kind of statement is clearly related to Dvoretsky's theorem for the following reason. If you have the solution of this equation, since M star of a body is M of the polar body, you can rewrite it in this way, where L is the polar body of this one. This is the convex hull of the polar body of K and the ball of radius 1 over R. Now, since this body contains the ball of radius 1 over R, you have that B, the 1 over B is the in radius of the body, has to be smaller than R, and this means that M over B for the body L is close to 1, is bigger than 1 minus C to the 1 over 1 minus lambda. Dvoretsky's theorem gives you that the dimension of spherical sections of the body L has to be proportional to N. So random sections of dimension proportional to N are balls of radius 1 over R. And since the polar body of K is contained in L, you must have an upper bound for the diameter of sections of K polar. The problem with this is that you cannot achieve the dimension of the sections to be very close to N because you have this absolute constant C1 in Dvoretsky's theorem, even though you can choose this function so that the ratio M over B will be arbitrarily close to 1. And this means that you need a new argument of proving some sort of isomorphic Dvoretsky theorem, and this is how the proof of this thing goes. So the picture with these two results is the following. You have a fixed lambda which is between 1/2 and 1, and you have two fixed lines. The slopes depend only on lambda. You are given a convex body K. You put in this picture the graph of the function M star of K intersected with the ball of radius S. You get two points of intersection. R capital will be an upper bound for the diameter of a random section of K, and R small will be a lower bound for the diameter of a random section of K. Now, this is sort of a qualitative statement because the problem is not even well posed. If you have a very long convex body, you don't have this interval to have a small length. What we emphasize here is that you have some fixed functions of lambda, and then in a simple way you can find sort of a confidence interval for the diameter of the sections. So far there is no assumption about the position of the convex body, and so you cannot expect very precise answers. Now, the question I wanted to describe in detail is the following. I'm going back to the relation between sections of a convex body K and rotations of a convex body K. So we have an arbitrary convex body, and we have two fixed integers, T and S. Now, R is the minimum row. You can find S rotations of the whose intersection is contained in a ball of radius rho. And RT of K is the diameter of the majority of sections of K of dimension N over T. So it is the minimum R capital for which you have with the big probability that a section of K of dimension N over T is contained in a ball of radius R. So the question is how these two related. And the fact observed by Milman is that if sections of dimension N over T have small diameter, then you can find an intersection of T rotations which has a small circumradius. The precise estimate is that R small 2T of K is less than square root of T times R capital T of K. And if T is a power of 2, then you can replace here 2T by T. You can have exactly the same T. Let me explain this in the case T equals 2. So if R capital is R capital 2 of K, subspace of dimension n over 2, so that their sum is Rn, and this is exactly the fact that the diameter of the sections is bounded by R. Now you consider the identity operator and the orthogonal operator P1 minus P2, where Pi is the orthogonal projection onto Ei. You just use the triangle inequality here to show that the average of the norm of X and the norm of U of X is bigger than the maximum of the norms of P1x and P2x. Now, on the subspaces, you can compare with the Euclidean norm. Then you just use Pythagoras' theorem, and you have that the sum of the norms is bigger than 1 over R times the Euclidean norm of X. This means that the average of the rotations of the polar body contains a ball. This average is contained in the convex hull, and taking polars, you have that an intersection of two rotations is contained in a ball of radius R capital. So this is a relation between the two quantities on one side. And what I would like to prove is that you have a reverse inequality, which is again has to be understood in the qualitative sense. I don't know about the estimates, but it says that if you can find T rotations of a body K whose intersection has small diameter, then most sections of dimension N over C capital to the T have to have a small diameter. They have to be on the average small. For the proof, we will use these two facts that I introduced. The upper bound for the diameter equation, which is a consequence in this, and the upper bounds of the additional method that I described. The steps of the proof are the following. We start with the assumption that the intersection of T rotations of K is contained in a ball of radius rho. Now, first thing you do is you choose some lambda which is bigger than t over t plus 1, and then you solve the equation, the second equation. So you find r such that m star of k intersected with the ball of radius r is 1 minus c to the 1 over 1 minus lambda. The same will be true for each one of the rotated bodies. Okay? Now you apply this conditional m estimate, and you have that because of measure, this thing holds for a random section, you have that for a random subspace xi of dimension lambda n, the section of the polar body of the rotation of k with xi is inside the ball of radius 1 over r. And then you take polars. So you have that the projections of all these rotated bodies onto the same subspace contain a ball of radius r. This is the first... Now, we may assume that k is strictly convex, and then we define a map from the unit sphere of the subspace X to the space xi orthogonal to the power t, so this is r to the t times n minus m, where m is in the following way. You have a unit vector on the sphere of xi. This is the projection of the body uj of k onto the subspace X. So you move in the direction of theta until you meet the boundary. Xj is the point on the boundary of the projection in the direction of theta. Now, this point is the projection of a unique point on the boundary of ujk. This is called yj. And then the map is the following. You send theta to this vector, y1 minus x1, etc., yt minus xt. Now, this function is continuous and odd, and since you have chosen lambda to be bigger than t over t plus 1, the dimension here is smaller than the dimension of the sphere. So you may apply Borsuk's theorem to find a vector theta for which t of theta is equal to 0. This means that x1 is y1, x2 is y2, xt is yt. Now you find the index for which the length of xj is minimal. There exists some j node such that aj node is the minimum of a1 to at. And now you think as follows. You have that xj is equal to yj. Yj is in uj of k. And so this means that xj is in ujk for every j. Now since aj node is the smallest, this xj node has to be inside all the convex bodies. It has to be inside u1 of k, u2 of k, ut of k. So you found that this xj node is inside the ball of radius rho. On the other hand, this xj node is on the boundary of the projection of the body uj node of k, which contains a ball of radius r. And so this means that its length has to be bigger than r, and this compares the solution of the equation to rho. R has to be smaller than rho. Now comes the low m star estimate. By Gordon's estimate, one can find some mu in 0, 1, so that this number that we chose in our first step is written in the form 1 minus epsilon times square root of 1 minus mu, where we choose epsilon so that this will become the square root of this one. You first choose epsilon and then you choose mu. So this gives you a dependence of mu on lambda. Mu has to be c to the power 1 over 1 minus lambda. Now we have that r is the solution of this equation. And so we have that a random section of dimension mu n of k has diameter less than r. But this, by the definition of R capital, means exactly that you have connected, and by the previous inequality about r and rho, means that you have connected R capital of this order with rho. Now you choose lambda to 10 to t over t plus 1, and you have your estimate. So it is a combination of the two. Facts. want to say is that if your body K is in special position, then using this connection between sections and rotations, you can have more precise estimates on this kind of questions. First of all, if your body is in M position, then you know more exact bounds about the diameter of a random section of dimension lambda n, in terms only of lambda and the volume radius of the body. Also, this double comparison of these two parameters becomes optimal. Here you have T everywhere. Also, if your body is in L position, which means it has minimal M, then you can prove that the diameter of a random section is bounded by a quantity which depends only on B over N. So the idea of using these parameters and the relation between sections and rotations for an arbitrary convex body may not lead to sharp results, but if you apply it for bodies which are in special position, you may obtain really precise estimates. Thank you.
Any questions?